how would you describe your work to someone that is not familiar with your approach or artistic practice?
Yeah, this is a very good question, because I also tend to get this question out from people who are not in the arts, or not in arts and culture, and don't actually know why I'm in this country. They're like, what are you doing? But I usually kind of keep the same anchor, which is what I've been saying for the last couple of years, is that I'm interested in knowledge, and knowledge is what they look like, how they've been produced, in what language, what happens when we don't understand or when we make mistakes. So also making space for like slippages with understanding how knowledge is formed. So that's kind of the anchor. And then through this, I'm also interested in historical narratives. I'm interested, and I enter through that with sound. Sometimes it's installation, sometimes I write. Thinking about questions, and with the years as they've passed, it becomes less about answers. But there was a moment where I was feeling a bit like this question answering is a bit of a scapegoat. I must just try to to answer, which was good, because then I started to, it, what that actually did was position myself, because I think what can happen with a lot of practitioners is if you kind of, especially when thinking about things like history or making comments or being critical or even alighting to some kind of awareness, is that you have a distance to it, which I think is safe. But now I realize one must position themselves. And it's not just why am I doing this, but who am I doing this right now? Why is it urgent? So me being from South Africa is a big part of this. But also why I want to do these kinds of things is very much linked to the fact that I, yes, of course, making work that I like to make, but there's an ongoing historical erasure of artists, of black artists, of women artists. And then within that, you start to wonder like, oh, if they had, you know, 10 extra years or 15 extra years, would they have done something interesting with sound? Would they have released an album? Would they have directed something? Would they have, you know, to also play with the space, because realizing with practice what is important and what I'm interested in now in my practice, if I describe it to people, is I just want time to be able to explore different things that I'm interested in. And this is difficult to do if you only have 5 years, but if you have 15, then you can really span. Then you can really like, okay, I'm interested in knowledge and I made a mistake with this thing that I told this person. So I'm going to make a text, and the text is going to talk about that. And then maybe I'll use sound, and maybe I'll send it in the mail to someone else. So my work is very much also interested in how the distribution of knowledge as well. I didn't answer that, but
no,
I tried to.
No, that was a very good answer. And I'm just thinking, because you're also coming in at a very particular generational moment, a
yes.
lineage of artists coming before you, right, that have opened up that space, that there's this room for experimentation,
yes.
where your work also is not necessarily grounded in this very particular identity politics that was sort of the framing or ground from which we're also coming from, right, as we emerge into this sort
yes.
of globalized contemporary art world.
Yeah.
But you were talking about, again, like, I think translation and locality is also quite key here, and
yep.
You know, how are you thinking around those things, being grounded, coming from South Africa, and again, trying to bring the conversation into elements of sounding, you know, how has sound and locality sort of emerged through your work in a sort of loose framing?
So it's very important that you actually highlight the kind of generational context, because I don't know, I'd like to use, I don't think 94 is a helpful moment, but so I am born in 95, so I am in art school in the mid 2010s, and within this particular period we've already had generations of artists who have been exploring performance, film, installation, not just on a local but also within a global kind of economy as money, but also a cultural economy, which already means that the path I'm walking has been really widened up by people who did the work, like seriously. And not just artists, but also writers, intellectuals, scholars, curators. There's a lot of people who came before, and if it was not for them, I would not be here. This is just, there's just so much of groundwork that had to be laid for me to be able to say, okay, I'm going to make a sound work that is occurring within this frequency, and I'm going to put it here, and this is the work, right? This things that had to lead up to that. And also the desire to experiment and play. But when I was studying, I also had an interest in sound, but I didn't know that you could use sound as an entry point into the ocular. I didn't know it was possible because I also wasn't seeing it so much with my own exposure to contemporary art. But when I was in that kind of circle, we studied at the same art school, but many years apart, you started to see it like, oh, people are doing like fun things. Like you can bring a speaker, you can do, I was like, wow, this is amazing. So now I can like bring all the stuff I've been doing on the side and try to figure it out. My interest in sound, for example, also really developed because sound and sounding, tone, language also is a big part of it, is how you're, it's really about arriving to the visual or the ocular maybe a little bit later. It's not about this immediate like visual desire, but how can we sustain that? How can we prolong that? Or how can we lead our way up to that? Maybe through a story, maybe through a rumor, maybe through intonating something in different ways. Maybe the same word is intonated in different ways. And this for me is really important. There's just some things that don't make sense as visual, I don't know, objects. And those experiences can only be manifested through other kinds of time-based forms, such as sound, such as film, such as performance. So for me, it comes from exposure, timeline in terms of when I come in my studies, but also with contemporaries of mine as well. And I think that's also, I think access to things like different distribution models like internet, online radio, podcast, SoundCloud was huge. I mean, it's probably still huge, but you know what I mean? Like there were so many ways to do the work and you didn't have to put it in a space, but you could think of other platforms to support that kind of sounding. So I think that also made it much more possible for me at the time in thinking about why these things are important in my practice, because I had the tools to be able to sit with them long enough to realize that, oh yeah, I can actually do this and I don't need to, it doesn't have to be anything more than that.
I mean, wow, there's so many things happening there. But yeah, you're coming in at all these intersections, right? Technologically, culturally,
yes.
On a knowledge level in terms of also who's in the schools teaching, peers particularly. And I think that durational demand of sound, I think in a lot of practices, it demands time, it demands a sort of presence, right? In terms of like grasping. And I think you also play with this notion of how to grasp the slippages that are kind of existing, but maybe not necessarily focused on, right? I've been thinking around this idea of listening beyond the frame. And I think in many ways your work does do that. I want to come back to the record State Proof that we had done in 2018, that you did with Chad and Nathaniel, as a way of also listening to history, to different collections, to listening to other people's listening, right? And that sort of collaborative way of working that you guys stitched together that album. And I think that was really an interesting moment that we could do that because there wasn't, I think, capacity really yet in South Africa. I mean, 2018, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, perhaps you can maybe speak to that moment in bridging, I guess, sound via printmaking, via listening to each other.
Yes, this project came from like listening sessions that were being held at the DGI studio for months prior. So it was already coming from an ongoing process, from record digging, listening to tapes, listening to each other, listening to each other's music, but also the openness of wanting to listen, which was also taking place within another context of knowledge production, which was a print studio. So it's not like taking place in its own isolated space, but it's also not taking place in a domestic space. It's already taking place where there's some kind of knowledge being generated, which is then interesting because, again, while there's images or you're kind of surrounded by the production of images through printmaking, through the prints on the drying on the rack, but you also have then sound, which then is a kind of running theme alongside that. And it's not that we were listening to you know, vinyls that were talking about what was being printed. It wasn't really about that, but more to give context of the space. And I think the State Proof project was possible also because there was a lot of listening that happened prior. So I don't think it would have worked, for example, if we only came into the space, the Center for the Less Good Idea, and hadn't had already those discussions and listening and familiarity with each other's music tastes and departure points and listening to history and listening through histories. Another thing about that is, I think this was also possible because when I mentioned contemporaries earlier, we were surrounded by understanding that sound or listening as a practice is definitely an extension of knowledge exchange. I mean, where this site is located, you also had Gelagetla Library, which were close by. Iran Malosi have been working with sound and histories for the longest time within a set space. And also projects like Chimurenga, for example, with past Pan-African Space Station, things were happening there. So there was already kind of like a spatial closeness with people who were working with sound. So I think that framed or kind of cushioned the ability for this project to move from friends listening together in a print studio into then, I think also this thing of translating, because it's not always easy to translate, okay, let's say research, sonic research or hanging out into a format that is maybe more, even though it wasn't a very normative exhibition, but within a public space that supports and hosts exhibitions, this translation is not easy. Yeah. It takes a lot to kind of contextualize and formulate, like, what do we bring with, what stays behind, which processes make sense, what happens if there's other people who want to join us and listen, what if I don't want to do it anymore, do this part anymore, how do you kind of negotiate that, or having to negotiate in a completely different space. These are things that now in hindsight I realize, like, yeah, that's actually quite difficult, but we managed to do that. And I think it's being able to develop listening as a listening to each other's records, like, yes, listening to vinyls is always fun, but also listening to each other was, I think, allowed us to translate that very seamlessly. Yeah, that's because I also came in late. I think they were already starting with the print aspect, like to print the posters. And then I came in later. They're like, yeah, just come. We're doing this project. I was like, oh, okay. So the invitation also came. I came in much later, which was also quite nice because, yeah, we already had formulated this, this kind of listening together. So it felt quite comfortable, let's say.
Thinking around the site, these modes of listening in the studio, this kind of casual hangout sites, and thinking around the shows that you've done, for example, at the Showroom, now at Chisholm Hill Gallery, you know, the sort of institutionalness of these spaces. And I think in an interview, you talk about the limitation of these traditional art spaces.
Yeah.
Are you talking about, you know, what's happening in the print studio in a very more relaxed way, but bringing that into a sort of contemporary art space? I mean, if you could just speak maybe a little bit to those institutional spaces, the architectural conditions that you've been sort of also sort of playing with in an interesting way, in a very subtle, interesting, gestural way.
Mm. Yeah. So I would say up until... So I was working a lot with, like, tape as a material. I used to do radio shows way back when with my brother when we were kids. So I was familiar with playing with tape and recording over and over and over and cutting and things and splicing. So my entry point into sound was also... was not sound as in I'm playing something that's going to bleed into the whole room. It was more like I'm going to make this thing and I'll play it very softly on speakers because I don't want to disturb, or maybe even headphones or earphones. So my entry point into working with sound in a visual arts practice was to create a space that could accommodate sound, or to isolate it, or, oh, I need a carpet, or we need a curtain, or we need this, this, and this. And then... up until there was one really formative project I did at Kunsthalle Bern, and I was working closely with Gabelo Malatzi, who's amazing, which was, it's a Kunsthalle, so it's like, you know, very typical Swiss, German, like white walls, parquet flooring, high ceilings, like there's no doors, it's just space, and it's set up for viewing, it's clearly set up for traditional art modes such as painting and sculpture, etc., is not set up for sound. The acoustics are terrible, and it's a big space. And contrary to what one might think, there are budget limitations even in rich countries like Switzerland for this type of stuff. So it didn't make sense to like put carpet on the flooring. It didn't make sense to put curtains. It didn't make sense to create a space to isolate sound. And because the space was, I was working with about 4 rooms in total, 2 upstairs and 2 downstairs, it just was not practical to create like a space where there would be dry sound. It just didn't make sense. So this was kind of one of the first moments of just letting sound bleed. I mean, I'd done it before, and you need space for this, which is also like, it means if you have space, it means you have access to space. How much space do you have? Are you sharing with other people? It's very much there's a currency to being able to have a Kunsthalle to play sound. There's currency that comes with that position. So there's a currency to getting to a stage where you can actually let sound bleed in order to feel like you have to isolate yourself. So then in the end with Kabelo, we were like, let's just let the sound bleed. And I'm like, oh, but what about the echo and the reverb? And then eventually it turned out like, hey, actually we can work with this. It won't sound great. It won't sound like what you hear in your headphones. Speech will not be legible in the way that you want it to be. And tone, things will reverberate. Time will be taken. There'll be some like, you know, dissonance. So this idea of dissonance or things kind of falling off of tone became very interesting to me, because it's like, oh wait, actually you can play with this. And this is not something I would have encountered if I, you know, put it in headphones or made a small room. So then I started to realize that sound is space and space is sound, and that they inform each other. You don't need to create a space to listen. You can go outdoors, you can go to a bathroom, you can go to a kitchen, you can go to the street. There's always sound, but it's always informed by what's around it, what it reflects off of and what materials, etc. So working in more institutional settings also allowed for me to develop a relationship with like the architecture of the space and know that you can use that. You don't have to fight it. And how you use that depends on whatever you want to do, whatever comment you're trying to make. But I would say since then, and this project was at the end of 2022, since then, that was really great, because now I have a bit more confidence to being like, okay, there's an invitation for this thing. This is how tall the ceilings are. This is the space. I'm going to play with whatever comes out. If there's speech, it won't be like I've been able to develop a vocabulary of sound in space. If I want to do something in headphones, I can. But now I have a better vocabulary, spatial vocabulary to be able to just work with the space as it is, which makes way more things possible. And also to not be afraid of that which is lost because of reverb, of echo, etc., etc. Yeah.
Coming back to like sound and headphones and compositionally speaking, how are you thinking around working in terms of field recordings? I'm thinking around the sketches that you've also sent.
It's probably helpful just to scaffold and backdrop that I knew it was possible to make sound or to kind of maybe compose. Sounds a bit like composing, but my brother's a producer. So growing up, I was always surrounded by like some doof doof in the room next to me, because my brother was making music and just learning programs and very nerding it out. So this was always something I was aware of. But when I come to do my studies, I was not working with sound as in my own compositions at all. I didn't think that that was my world. I partially still feel like it's not my world, but I like to play with this. And something like sampling for me also became much more interesting because of my interest in like departing from histories or narratives and playing with this. So sampling became interesting. I did this for a number of years and it made sense. And then around the time when I moved to the Netherlands, there were 2 things happening. One was that I wanted to assemble a choir. I had like a gospel era. I was listening to a lot of gospel and I want to assemble my own choir, like Edwin Hawkins. I want to be Edwin Hawkins. So there was the desire to develop a choir to play with polyphony and sound, but not for me to sing, but for me to kind of be a composer in that sense. But also there was one podcast that I did for the space called Cave in Berlin. I'm sure you know this one, for the Pogo Bar. During the pandemic, they had the like Pogo Bar podcast, and I wanted to do more sampling at the time. I was also still doing that. And then I'm sure you know Germany and copyright laws and all of that. Anyways, long story short, my deadline got cut very much shorter than it needed to be because there wasn't enough budget to clear. Like, that was not going to happen. So then I had to really rethink, like, this thing's not going to work in this part of the world. They're too, you know what I mean? It's just not going to work here in the same way that I can do it at home. I really need to rethink this whole thing of working with sound. And then at the same time, I was trying to develop a choir, but I knew I was like, I'm not sure. Oh, and then the third part on top of that is I had started at the Rex Academy and met amazing people, and we were jamming a lot with instruments. But it's not that we were all musicians, but everybody had something to bring. And I bought a combo organ, like an Antonelli combo organ, which is like, for people who don't know, the combo organ is like, it's a keyboard. But it comes with like beats, and it comes with different sounds for the keyboard. So you can basically jam by yourself. And I was like, this is perfect. I've got an organ. I'm just going to start composing stuff for the choir that is yet to happen. So the sketches that I've that you will hear, I used to every night before leaving the studio, I'd play for like maybe half an hour or so. And I'd always record because I don't actually know how to read music. So I'd do like a video recording and then an audio recording so that if I wanted to play the same pattern again, I would have a visual reference. So a lot of the sketches come from like, that's why they're so simple. It's actually, I'm doing it so I can remember. I'm not doing it because I'm playing, you know, a symphony or whatever. It's really pattern making. So a lot of the sketches are coming from this context as a building of the choir, but also me learning this instrument and developing a relationship with this instrument. So there was an impetus to actually start working with original compositions. Number one, yeah, copyright, but also jamming with friends and also this desire to. So there were multiple things kind of coalescing that led me into a direction of start to think about sound on your own terms, and it won't sound like, I don't know, it's not going to be Philip Glass, and that's okay. But you can do something totally different, like it. And then from there, because of the combo organ, then I was interested in synthesizers and theremins, and it's like it opened up a completely different new world. And very, very slowly, I don't know if it's still happening for me, but building a modular synth with different modules, it's an expensive endeavor, so I don't know when this is going to manifest. But the fact that you might need multiple modules just to make one sine wave, you know what I mean? Like, this is fascinating to kind of see how electronic sound is built. So it's kind of developed into a bigger world, again, vocabulary that can then allow me to, my understanding of sound is sampling, etc., but also working with your own compositions that are not musical compositions. I'm not a musician, but I hope to be able to use this language to activate something else. Field recordings have also been something that I've been, when I was studying, there was a Zoom recorder that you could loan out from the media, the I forget the name, Resource Center. So you could loan out the Zoom H5 or H4N. It's like super fancy. It's like so good. And because everyone would be using it, when you had it, you would do everything. So my field recordings were maybe not even in the field, but they'd be at home, going to make a cup of tea, just like really, I don't know how else to call them, very habitual recordings. But also I used to record my route going from my studio to home, or going, because I was working at the time at a gallery, so I'd have to go past Brie quite a lot, taxi rank, and I still have them somewhere. So like there's field recordings which, to give like a very uninteresting answer, they're on the hard drive. Like there's a lot of recordings that are on the hard drive that have never seen the light of day. There's a lot of that. But field recordings are something that I don't, they don't feature quite, they're not in the front of the stage of my practice. I do treat them as studies, not even as sketches, because with sketches, there's an intent to use that for something. Whereas the field recordings are more like, I would say documentation and like, oh, okay, great, this is what this sounds like. But I've never actually used this quite a lot, but I don't think that's calling me yet. But with something like the Tsui recordings, which is of the theremin and the bees, that was really intentional to try and understand. Theremins, of course, are triggered by proximity to an electromagnetic field, which our bodies have, but so does a plant, so does a bee. So that was more also just trying to understand the threshold of that synth, that instrument. But with other things, like when I do research trips, like recently, like 2 years, went to go to the Zhuayin crater in Soshangove. I did a field recording there because it's a crater that's 220,000 years old. I was like, It's crazy. That's beautiful. Or Salsa di Nirano in Italy, where there's puddles that come from below. So they make like the burping sounds, like bloop, bloop, bloop. So I recorded that. So like, this is also great to have, but this is also a more recent intent with the field recording. But yeah, I haven't had really a moment where I've only made a work about recording a site and its history and its context. I don't know if that is my work, and I don't know if I'm there yet.